Our first scripture lesson today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God has set God's seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is God who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
I do want to remind those of you online, especially, that we will be celebrating communion later in the worship service. So if you're with us online or on the phone, we do want to remind you to get your elements ready so that you can join us in the observance of communion wherever you might be. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 2 Samuel. This is a familiar reading, I think, to most of us, but it comes right after a more familiar reading, and you will get that context, I think, immediately. But what you're about to hear comes right after perhaps one of the most assorted tales in our scriptures. From 2 Samuel, the 11th and 12th chapters. When the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she made lamentation for him. And when the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. And he came to him saying, "There were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He brought it up, and it grew up with him and with his children. It used to eat of his meager fare and drink from his cup and lie in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was loath to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for a wayfarer who had come to him, but he took the poor man's lamb and prepared that for the guest who had come to him. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, "I anointed you king over Israel, and I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your bosom, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added as much more. Why have you displeased and despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in God's sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, for you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, I will raise up trouble against you from within your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this very son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the son." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Sometimes the greatest obstacles in life are not outside threats or challenges, but rather changes within. As the old chestnut from the now defunct comic strip by Walt Kelly, Pogo, said, "We have met the enemy, and they are us." We all need a Nathan or two, or more, in our lives. Nathan is one of the most important characters in the Bible story of the great King David. Throughout David's rise to power and on his throne and following, Nathan serves as the king's confidant, conscience, and priest. He very often points out things David needs to but doesn't want to hear. Perhaps the most remembered of these stories is the one that we hear this morning. Nathan tells a simple story of a wealthy man who steals a poor man's sheep in order to open David's eyes to the terrible thing that he has done in having Uriah killed to cover up his blatant sexual predatory behavior with and eventual marriage to Bathsheba. Notice how that's the first time you've heard her name this morning. Her name is really only mentioned one time in Scripture. And from that point forward, she is referred to as the wife of Uriah. I had often thought that that was because the writers of Scripture were ashamed of the story. that they didn't want the whole story to really come out. But I've come to realize that Bathsheba is referred to as the wife of Uriah to constantly remind us of the illicit actions of King David. That an innocent man is killed in order to satisfy the lust of the king. Even in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Matthew, when the lineage of Jesus is given and only five women are mentioned in that lineage, one of them is, you guessed it, the wife of Uriah. Nathan reveals a glaring blind spot in David's life. A blind spot of predatory, misogynistic behavior that not only gets repeated by David, but also continues to play out in David's sons. Just as Nathan prophesies in the reading we just heard, there are future consequences to David's actions. Now, we all have blind spots in our lives. We all need Nathans. We all need truth tellers in our lives who can tell or show us when we have done or said something stupid or hurtful or untrue to someone. Someone to point out characteristics and habits that we may have that irritate or alienate others. Someone to tell us things that we can't see for ourselves. We all need truth tellers in our lives. Now, these people are often spouses, close friends, co-workers, but sometimes complete strangers who point out these things that we cannot see about ourselves. And sometimes we listen, but more often than not, we don't. We rationalize it away with simple phrases like, oh, that's their problem, not mine. Instead of taking a step back to examine what our behavior actually may be. Blind spots are not only personal. Communities, nations, cultures, and yes, even religions have blind spots and need truth tellers like Nathan. Jesus was a truth teller. And like Nathan, he usually conveyed his truth in stories and metaphors. In today's gospel reading, Jesus shows the disciples a blind spot that they have. This is a blind spot that Jesus is continually reminding them that he and his message are not who and what they think it is. They continually insist on being literalist when it comes to his teachings. In fact, Jesus uses imagery and stories from their tradition to point out the blind spots of the past that are still with them. Jeff referred to one of these traditions this morning as he spoke with the children. Bread is such an important item literally in the lives of the people of the Middle East during this time. But it is used throughout Scripture metaphorically as the presence, the life-giving presence of God. The disciples are looking for a king, while Jesus points them toward a way of life. The disciples, just like the people who were looking toward David and Saul, they're looking for a king to lead them into battle, to show them the way, really, to do it for them, so that their lives can be nice and safe and cushy. But Jesus always points us to ourselves. Jesus says, I am the way, but you've got to follow it. I am the bread, but you've got to eat it. He is always pointing us back toward ourselves, individually and communally. It is difficult to change entrenched ways of understanding and living, especially when our ways of understanding and living become the only way. Unfortunately, too many of us have done this on too many different levels. We are living in times when blind spots embedded in old entrenched ways of understanding and living are literally being defined today. Like warning signals in our cars that beep and flash when a car enters that space that's not covered by one of our rear view mirrors, the Nathans of the world today are telling truth. They are telling us truth about slavery, about genocide, about misogyny, and white patriarchal supremacy. They are telling us truths, and many of us are discovering our blind spots. Truth tellers of science are desperately trying to show us a way through a deadly pandemic, showing us our blind spots. Truth tellers of religion are showing us ways of living justly rather than simply adhering to divisive doctrines. And the real questions for us today: are we listening? Are we seeing? Are we willing to learn and change? Perhaps our calling as individuals, communities, and nations is to become truth listeners. Everybody wants to be a truth teller these days, but usually we're only parroting our own blind spots and insisting that others believe the way we do. Instead of insisting on being a truth teller, why not be truth listeners? And listen to the voices that are speaking to us today. Or else, we will continue to pass our blind spots on to future generations. in the same way that they were passed on to us. We have an opportunity in the world today to listen to truths that are being proclaimed about who we are, not who we thought we were. And we are being invited to see those blind spots and to change. Amen. If we are to become truth listeners, we need to listen for truth and identify our blind spots. And as we do this, our compass is also the compass of Jesus. Love. Love God, the eternal presence of creation, with all our being. And this especially includes loving all of humanity in the same manner. This is not superficial or sentimental love, but rather living with justice, living with dignity, practicing compassion, caring, and sharing for everyone, everything, everywhere. Let us go from this place and listen. Amen.